We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Yeah, go ahead, check it out.
Let's go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 47 of The Art of Surrender, and I am joined by the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, for the fourth time on the podcast, Jamil, also known as Coffee and Chokes or Milvac or I don't even know what you're called anymore, mate, but how are you?
I'm currently Jesus right now. That's what I'm currently am right now. You know, I'm in the, you know,
yes,
the clouds, got my Jesus blanket on right now. It's actually like a Clint Eastwood blanket. It's freaking sick. Look at that. I try to put it on my head, but like the green screen just filters it out. Now it looks like I look more like Harry Potter with the invisibility cloak and Harry Potter run right now. See like this.
Literally. So see? for people who are listening in, so we're sitting on Zoom having a chat. Obviously, I'm in Sydney and Jamil's in Perth. And we've decided to put up some screen filters just to have a little bit of fun while we do it. And Jamil started with a selfie of himself in the background. And then now he's chosen to
naked.
Go with a beach.
Naked.
Yeah, a beach background with an invisibility cloak over the top of himself. So it's a little bit ridiculous, but that's the things that
this
we
is
do.
A real photo, by the way. This is a photo of when I was on the plane on the way to Broome, I think it was. I think it was Broome. And I took that. On the plane, yeah, good sunset. It was freaking sick over the water. So that's a real photo.
How'd you even manage that? I couldn't even tell that you were shooting it through a plane window.
Yeah, just through the window. That's not through a window. That's when I was on a boat when I was doing a sail in, sail out job. Yeah, that's a boat. Where is it? Yeah, that's a boat. Yeah, I was on a boat. No, that's from a plane. Yeah, that's a plane.
Yeah, it's so high up in the air. There's no way that's in a boat.
Yeah, I was in a plane for the window of that one.
Yeah, so what's the story? Where were you headed?
I'm pretty sure I was doing a work trip on Broome for a weekend. So I did 2 days there. I was going to meet up with Adam from Broome BDJ, Adam Selby. But yeah. I was there during the weekdays, and apparently they don't train during the weekdays. So I was like spewing. So I didn't end up training with him. And he was busy that week anyway. So yeah, but I'm going to upload different background photos as we chat along, some funny ones, and I'll tell you the backstories of all these background photos that I'm going to upload. Actually, I'll make sure I click the right photo because I don't want to put up a dodgy photo. I'm like, whoa, you weren't meant to see that one.
That's all right, man. It's only me. You just got to hope I can't screenshot it quick enough so that I can share it with the people.
We're currently on record right now because I got a few naked selfies, like, you know, some before and after shots of flex photos of myself in here. So I got to make sure that I keep those PG. There's a few saucy ones in there.
Just save that for your Tinder profile, mate. He's listened to him. Look, I don't know who the fuck you think you are. He's sitting there like half dressed up like Jesus, sucking on a vape pen as well.
Oh yeah.
What have you got? What flavor is that?
See that ring I just said? Oh, this is passion fruit, but we're kind of running out of flavor right now. Yeah, passion fruit vape, because I'm trying to quit smoking right now. So I'm on the vapes. That's right, everyone. I train 7 days a week and I smoke like a chimney and I still still grind it out. So just got iron lungs.
I remember the first time I think I came to your place and we had a little bit of a grapple. I think I arrived there slightly before I was supposed to, and you were sitting down having a dart.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, people don't know that I'm a big smoker, big advocate for tobacco, but it's currently 10 o'clock in my time. I mean, 10:30 in my time right now, so I'm currently unfiltered. So the professional phase also, now I'm just kicking back right now. So who knows what might come out of my mouth
during
this meeting.
We're mates. I've known you long enough. You just be yourself. And it's what I think. Mm. So for people listening, we obviously haven't really gone anywhere with this yet. We're just talking shit. It's 12:26 a.m. here in Sydney. And we have been chatting. We were supposed to do a podcast, I think, last week. And then I sent you a message. Basically, so our conversation tonight, which pretty much started by me just mouthing off at you, right? I think it just, out of the blue,
you were like, quit ducking me. I was like, what are you talking about? You're in Sydney, mate.
Yeah, that's right. I just messaged him out of the blue. Brother, quit ducking me. We having a battle of the pods, lad. I'd be scared of me too.
I was in the car just getting back, driving home from training. And you're like, you're still there. I was like, yeah, man, I'm just getting out of the shower and eating because I just finished training. So, and you're like, I was doing a podcast. I was like, yeah, all right, why not? Let's go. Why not? Go on then.
No, I need to get one out. I've got a couple coming up with the guys in Sydney. I'm going to do another one with James shortly as well. I need to reach out with him and book that in. And of course, plenty of other people as well, but it's always good to chat to you. So that's it with us. You know, we know each other so well. We don't really need to plan much and just jump on and have a talk. So without any further ado, my man, I know you have a wrestling competition coming up this weekend. I'm sure we're going to talk about that. What's been going on in your world?
I got this tournament coming up on Sunday, the WA Cup. So it's one of the bigger tournaments in WA. So I'm expecting a lot of good talent to come out of this tournament. A lot of really high level competitors going to be entering in, because especially when it comes to the especially when it comes to the high level tournaments, there's a lot of real good guys that compete in this tournament. So I'm excited to compete against some of the best wrestlers at the NWA, and a lot of MMA guys and BJJ guys jump in these tournaments. So you know, you're always going to jump in with the best. So I'm pretty excited to get to match up with them and, you know, see what I got. So they're always fun.
So we've had a change of background photo there, people, and it's a photo of himself in his wrestling onesie. What do you even call that, by the way?
In the wrestling world, we call these singlets. You know, in BJJ, you get the rash guard or the gi. And wrestling, our main uniform is the wrestling singlet, as you can see here. So that singlet,
the Borat outfit.
It's believe it or not, these singlets are like highly respected in the wrestling world. You wear this in America, or you go to a college, you're like, you're the man, literally. It's like you're the tough guy. You know what I mean? That's very highly respected uniform singlet.
Oh, there you go. And so, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Gladiators. Those are the wrestling gym that you've been training at. And of course, obviously skilling up a little bit so that you can test yourself in the cup this weekend. Have we had a chat on the podcast about your recent competition, or did that happen in between our last few episodes?
That was after our last few episodes. The recent one I did, that was like maybe 3 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. It was only like a small one. It was more like an inter-club tournament, so it wasn't really like a big cup tournament, so no medals or no cup. It was more like an interclub kind of thing. Still highly competitive, still people want to win. It was only one other guy that was close to my weight, 65 kilos, and good dude named Deoda. So it was just me and him, and I was still injured at the time, so I had a really bad busted elbow, so it was just easier just to have like two good matches, and I was happy with that because I didn't want to like further aggravate my elbow because I was still quite injured at the time. But I won those matches, which was really, really good with one arm. But next coming Sunday, I'm pretty much 100%. So I'm ready to wrestle at full capacity now. So I've been training good for that, training at Gladiators Wrestling and also another gym called Drillich Combat Academy in Joondalup. Been doing a lot of wrestling rounds with those guys. So just came back from that last tonight, actually. So I'm pretty excited to put the singlet back on Sunday and rumble again.
There you go, man, throwing yourself into the fire there. And so you're I guess you've made a little bit of a adjustment in your approach to things, right? So I think you're more focused on jiu-jitsu for, you know, quite some time, and I think in our conversation you've been talking about wanting to level up your wrestling a bit. Have you been focused more that way? And I know you're training with Amma as well. Do you want to like talk to me a little bit about how that's going and where it all came from?
So with the wrestling, it's just something that for me that I enjoy because I get the good challenge out of it. I had a good podcast a few months ago with Adam Jarks, who's the head coach of Matt Shark, BJJ, and Jandakot. And he explained something which is really cool because he cross trains in judo. And he was explaining how, you know, because we've been doing jiu-jitsu for so long. You go in there, you do your rounds, you're training, you drive home, and it's like a normal everyday thing. But when he was doing his judo, he was like, oh, I go to judo and I get that sense of fulfillment after class, after a training session, where I can drive home in the car and be like, yeah, I learned something, or I improved in something. And he says that's what he gets out of judo, but he doesn't get that with jiu-jitsu anymore because, you know, with jiu-jitsu, you do it every day, you're kind of used to it. But once you put doing something that challenges you, something that's new, something that you know that you're a beginner in, and you do get that that sense of fulfillment, that drive home sense of fulfillment that he got that he gets from judo. And I get the same when I do wrestling. You know, I can go to enroll, do some jiu-jitsu, and that's like a normal thing for me. So I don't get that fulfillment anymore. But when I go to wrestling, just before going to the class, I got to psych myself up to go, to get in the car, get my boots, be ready for a hard training session. And when I get home or when I'm driving home in the car, there is that sense of fulfillment and achievement that, you know, I was able to push hard. I learned some new techniques and I was able to perform better and better each time I go. So that's why I enjoy wrestling right now. It's a new challenge. It's a new waters. I think that's really important for people to do, to constantly challenge themselves, whether it's BJJ or cross training in another combat sport. So if you're doing jiu-jitsu, I recommend, you know, if you have that feeling of plateauness, and I always tell people, when you feel like you're plateauing, you're not improving, I always tell them to get over that. You got to think of it as, all right, you're feeling you've plateaued. The ways that I get over it and the ways I feel like I'm getting better is I ask myself, have I actually learned something new lately? Or am I just doing the same techniques, wrong the same style over and over again and just becoming stagnant? And when I verse or roll people, you know, have they gotten used to my moves? So I always tell people, if you want to improve, keep pushing yourself and challenging yourself. With jiu-jitsu, you know, if you're tapping people out every session, all right, can you do that move with one hand? Can you do that move with one leg? Can you do that move with no hands? If you tap them out three times with an armbar, can you tap them out five times with an armbar? So always look for a way to push yourself and to improve on another level and find new bars to set a new standard on. Because if you don't set a new bar and new standard on, you'll just plateau or you won't get any better. You'll just stay at this middle rate unless you're setting higher expectations and setting higher goals and bars for yourself. And that's with just jiu-jitsu. And if you're cross-training, looking to add to your jiu-jitsu, whether it's wrestling or judo or even like stand-up striking, you know, challenge yourself, find a sport where that complements your jiu-jitsu, but also in a way that's challenging you, that's making you not only learn new techniques, but how can we use these techniques and how does it benefit my jiu-jitsu game? What am I going to get out of wrestling or what am I going to get out of judo and how's that going to help with my jiu-jitsu? So I always encourage people, when you're cross training or trying to get over plateaus, and set bars and set new challenges, you know, because you can always stay the same at the same level for so long before you start getting bored. And that's why I always tell people, you gotta raise the stakes up higher to improve yourself. And and also, as you mentioned before, I'm doing a lot of my training in AMA now. So the last 3 months I made the official train change to AMA gym, and that was a very smooth transition. Spoke to my coach James first about it. Well, he actually approached me first. He we had chat and he asked, you know, where do you want to go with your jiu-jitsu? And I noticed your goals are going on a different road to where I'm going. And I just wanted you to have a think about of which road do you want to take? You know, if you want to go this way or this way, I'll always support you 100%. And I said, give me a week and I'll get back to you. And I had a good thought about it. And, you know, I had a chat. I was like, look, James, I'm going in this certain direction and you're going that direction, but my path is going elsewhere. And I'm looking to change to AMA because they align with the path that I'm going to, especially in terms of competition and learning how to run my own competition or show one day. And also the business ventures that are at AMA, because there's a lot of connections in there. So it was just a bigger field for me to go into, make more broader connections. And James was cool with it. He knew where he was. I know where he was coming from. He knew where I was coming from. Then I spoke to Adam Metcalf about it, the head coach and owner of AMA Gym, and he was cool with it. He was just saying, as long as James is giving you the blessing, it's all good, and we would love to have you. So yeah, it's been pretty good. Continuing my training up in AMA. All the guys there are great. I was training there, bits and pieces on and off before, just sussing the place out. As for a while, I was looking for a new gym to settle in and find a new home. And James knew what I was doing as well. He knew that I was trying to find a new home as well, and he was you know, ready for me to expand as well. And it just worked out really well with AMA, with Adam Metcalf and the whole crew there, because I know a lot of good guys there that I gel well with, and I got a pretty good relationship with Adam Metcalf as well. So we got along quite well. And yeah, it's been a very smooth transition. And it just shows that, you know, you can switch gyms and switch affiliations and do it on good terms and do it, you know, the right way with honor and with integrity. Because me and James, we still talk to each other all the time. We were even messaging each other today as well. So we're still very close. And, you know, I still have a very good relationship with both him and with all his guys as well. And you know, there's no bad blood at all. You know, Adam and James, they're both really cool. So they were, Adam was really cool of taking me on board, and James was able to give me that blessing to move on to AMA as well. So, and that was the main thing. As long as I got his blessing, and you know, he knew what my intentions were, and Adam knew of what I wanted to do, moving and affiliating my flag onto him. So it all worked out quite well, and it's been yeah, pretty good so far.
So I've that's so much. Okay, I probably should have broken that up into a little bit slower, because there's so much there. Yeah, no, let's break it down. So there's a lot there. We can look, I take note of all the things regarding like AMA and James and things like that, and we'll continue that. But let's just go back to the idea of like talking to Adam Jakes. He's someone who I have approached to have on the podcast previously. Someone I really like the videos and things that he shares and some of the chats he's had in his car while he's driving and stuff. And it just sort of hasn't happened. Like the stars haven't aligned, but hopefully one day I'll get him on my podcast as well. And I did enjoy that chat that you had with him. Yeah, man, I can tell.
He's a character. He's a character. Yeah, loves a good meme.
Yeah. And I love how he puts up all the videos, the questions on his Instagram, and it's like asking the group questions and things. And it's just like,
dude, he's like the perfect secret gatekeeper. You'll only understand what I mean if you follow him, but he's like the secret. He's like the gatekeeper of like all perf secrets.
yeah, literally. Hey, literally. Because he'll ask like questions, even deep questions, and then people will like fill them out. He'll share them. Deep and I'm just like, questions. Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've messaged him sometimes. Because I've messaged him before. I was like, how are you keeping all these secrets? And how do you like, you know, how are these people responding? It's like, yeah, man, it's pretty funny. Eh? So it's just funny, but you know, but I know why he does it. I know why he does it, but I won't share, but I know why he does it. But it's quite smart why he does it, the sharing, the question thing. And I've done it myself a few times and it works. So yeah, but you'll have to ask him about that, why he does the questions things. And when he tells you why he does it, he'll explain everything and you'll realize he's literally a genius. Right. But yeah. That's right, something you can ask him.
All respect to him, and maybe when I talk to him in the future, I'll hit him up about that. So moving on, so you were talking about like dealing with plateaus and things like that, and I know all the AMA stuff. You know, there's a lot to unpack there, but I didn't want to overlook this because that's a thing that a lot of people face is plateaus, or dealing with the idea of feeling like they're not improving, and as you sort of alluded to, sort of grappling in general is just like, you know, controlling or manipulating a human skeleton, right? Having touch and feel of someone else in whatever form or movement that takes place in. And like with MMA and like submission grappling and ADCC and all these things, which, as you know, like the competitive side of it, I don't have all that much of an interest in, but the kind of what makes up jiu-jitsu these days is like, it's just becoming more just grappling, which is a combination of judo, of wrestling, of jiu-jitsu, and of all the arts. And so to your point about overcoming plateaus, like I thought that was a really interesting perspective to have on cross training with other martial arts. I think from my perspective, I haven't quite gone down that route yet. I still feel like there's so much for me to learn, so many details and mechanics that I need to really build into in an instinctive level, or even just discover. But also like even one way to improve is, you know, if you're feeling like you're having a plateau and you haven't really addressed leg locks, focus on leg locks for a little bit. Or if you haven't addressed your closed guard, focus on your closed guard. Like, it doesn't have to be necessarily different arts. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea. That's a great idea. go and do that. Go and do different arts if that's what you want to do and you have an interest in. But also look at the areas in your game where you think you can improve and areas that you're trying to hide from, whether that's, you know, you don't want your back taken because you don't know how to defend it. Well, spend some fucking time getting your back taken and focus on that.
Yeah.
And that's just my kind of idea. And also,
yeah, good.
Good timing. You've updated the photo in the background, which I appreciate. So keep them coming.
There's me and Adam Jarks right there, my boy.
There we go. That's the podcast day. And that's at Amma, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's Amma. So Adam Jarks, because he comes down to Amma every now and then, and that happened to be the night that he came down when we did the podcast in one of the members' lounges. And that's like a photo we got at like 10 o'clock at night after like all the rolls. And after he did a move in the week on me where he did a sick katagorama, which is basically like a judo version of like a fireman's carry. So it was, yeah, there's Adam Darks right there. But yeah. Good. But yeah, very good stuff, especially about plateaus and like, you know, addressing areas that, you know, that you want to improve in. And, you know, when you feel like, you know, I'm not improving here, then, you know, spend some time on it. And that's, you know, it doesn't get more basic and straight to the point than that is, you know, how much time are you spending time on the areas that you suck at?
And even like, you know, a lot of the times we can find ourselves in class being open to drilling all new techniques and playing in areas where we're uncomfortable. But then as soon as you like slap hands and bump fists, sometimes you, and if it's someone who will sort of bring the energy to you, you might just revert straight to your A game. And like,
yeah,
I've definitely, like, I'll be honest, I do that and I have done that. And I try my best to let things happen and to let people move and to let people use mechanics on me instead of just preventing it. So idea that we talk about at higher jiu-jitsu or even Pedro Sauer is kind of the idea of letting people start moves, but don't let them finish. So the idea is allow the mechanic to take place, but then counter it halfway through as opposed to just preventing it altogether. And so if you train from that perspective, and I find there's certain things that I do quite well now, like I'm able to counter, I allow it to happen, I can counter it, and it's because I've figured out that timing. But then there's other things, I allow it to happen, my timing's off, but then I don't counter it and I get swept or I get my back taken. And then I end up in that bad spot that you, if you prevented it altogether, you might not get put in as much, but that's part of the journey, right? Just like failing lots.
Yeah, found lots. And especially when it comes to knowing how to get out of bad positions, you know, and the best in the world always say that, you know, that's what will that will eventually improve a game overall, is really just learning how to get yourself in bad positions and starting from bad positions. You know, Gordon Ryan shares it all the time, how they train at Enzo Gracie Academy. They will constantly start in a bad position or drill from a bad position and work their way to get out there. And that's how you can tell people who do it is, you know, there'll be some people where they'll train and they'll just bully people and they'll always try to stay on top and be the dominant one. And then you can tell the people who do something similar, but they train and drill getting out of bad positions. And you can see that in their overall game, you know, how comfortable do they get when they get their back taking or when someone's got like, you know, a half finished leg lock on them, you know, do they panic? Do they scramble or do they re-engage in it? Because the most important thing about especially drilling from bad positions is not just escaping it, but can you re-attack from it? Especially in this day and age, especially with the new age of jiu-jitsu where it's so leg lock focused, you know, a lot of really good purple belts out there are getting really good really quickly because not only are they escaping bad positions like leg locks, but they're getting in that position, but learning how to re-engage and re-attack from that position that kind of, you know, sets the bar up at a higher level. And that's what's making all these current new guys really, really good, because they're not just escaping it, but they're also, you know, attacking from it as well. And that gives you that upper edge in the modern game. I was speaking to another friend of mine, PJ Morcom of Coringa, but a similar topic, you know, of why it's so important to get into bad positions and train from bad positions and just learning how to work your way out of that, because you never know that you might get caught one day. And especially when the time counts, just learning how to get out of it and reattack from there. UFC gym in Bacata, they're really good at that. Every Wednesday night, they do like a shark tank where it's three people. One person stays in the middle, and the person that stays in the middle during the whole round of, let's say, 10 minutes has to start from a bad position. So person in the middle gets his back taken. They roll from there for 1 minute. Second person jumps in. All right, we're starting from mount. They roll for another minute. Next minute, another person jumps in. All right, we're starting from the back again. And that gym's really good. They do that every Wednesday for their shark tank. And they've got some really, really good high-level jiu-jitsu guys coming out of that gym. Really good blue belts, really good purple belts. So, it just a huge advantage of learning how to escape and get out of bad positions and improve from so-called bad positions. So, yeah, it's good.
There you go. I was going to ask you, talking about sort of wrestling and jiu-jitsu and even judo, I'm not sure that you're doing that yourself, but let me ask you with respect to your wrestling, and you talked about jiu-jitsu and like plateaus or even losing interest, right? What I wanted to ask was your motivations behind wrestling at the moment. Are you focused on that because you are more interested in wrestling at the moment, or does it still come from a place of wanting to do wrestling so that it can more so improve your jiu-jitsu? Like, where are you at mentally with that?
Oh, well, when I first wanted to do wrestling, I Googled it first on Google. So I generally just wanted to learn wrestling because I've always loved the sport of wrestling. You know, I used to watch, you know, American movies and, they got the college wrestlers, they got the ear guards, singles. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Just taking people down, just manhandling them. So I wanted to learn it in general. And at first, I did it because I wanted to improve my my double leg and my single leg in general, because I had a really terrible double-legged single leg. So I wanted to prove that. And as I kept on training, kept on going, now the shift is focused, and now I really just want to just do my best to get better at wrestling and compete as much as I can. So whatever tournament comes up, and if I'm still in Perth or not working away, I'll happily jump in it because I want to keep improving and also have the opportunity to pretty much wrestle with the best. Because in WA, there's no divisions in wrestling. It's just weight class. So you could be, 65 kilos in your weight class versus another guy who's also your weight class. He's had like 10 years experience, 3 years experience, 5 years experience versus someone like me who's only had like, let's say, 2 years experience. Because it's such a small but very loyal community. There's not many people that do wrestling and compete in it. So, when you go in these competitions, you literally are versus the best in WA because, there's only a very few handful of us. So that's why when the WA team always goes over East, they're always, pretty successful in getting the gold medals and being podium finishers. For now, podium finishers. So for now, for me, I just want to get not just improve jiu-jitsu, use it for jiu-jitsu, that as well, of course. But I just want to compete as much as I can and get as much gold as I can or podium finishes just as I can, just to challenge myself and have that season that, that I can say and look back that I, did a bit of wrestling and had a bit of success in it just for my own personal improvement and personal satisfaction and personal ego. I'll say it right now. I'm doing it for my ego because I want to win. I'm not just doing wrestling because it's fun. It is fun, but at the same time, it's that healthy ego that, I want to win and get better. So when I go in these competitions, I'm going with a mindset that, I can beat this guy or I can go the full two rounds of this guy. Because, if I go in there going, oh, yeah, I'm going to lose. Oh, yeah, he's better than me, so I expect him to lose. If I go in that mentality, then, it's like, what's the point of even training and competing, when I know that I want to give my absolute best and respect the competition, respect the sport, respect the coaches that I did give my best and also respect to my competitors and opponents and my teammates that I do give my best when I go to train and I give my best when I go to competitions. I take my wrestling pretty seriously. I try to go as much as I can. If I don't go to Gladiators, then I do my wrestling at up at Drillich Combat Academy. So right now, because I haven't even done gi in like 3 months, just because I'm really so focused on wrestling. Yeah, I haven't done gi in ages.
Have you done much jiu-jitsu or are you mostly just wrestling?
I'm still doing heaps of jiu-jitsu, like no-gi rolls up in AMA and all that. So, but it just makes sense, just not doing much gi stuff. Because when I do go do no-gi, I'll make it very wrestling-based. I'll try and start standing or I'll try and roll in a way where I'm always on top. If I'm playing guard, I'll try and get the sweep as fast, as best way as I can. I'll try and remain on top and keep that top-heavy base game. So, yeah, it's just for me because now I just want to be a wrestler pretty much. Like I said, you know, I've been doing jiu-jitsu so long, you know, it's cool, but I'm getting that actual drive and ambition to wrestle and be challenged for wrestling now. It's such a hard and grueling sport, and you know, just had that self-fulfillment that I did it and I can do it while I can, while I'm still healthy and still relatively young, and just get that out of the way, because I probably won't be wrestling when I'm over 30, because it's just it takes such a huge toll on your body. So I want to get it done out of the way before I turn 30, and then after that, then I'll be happy to go back to just full-time jiu-jitsu.
So do you mind me asking how old are you now then?
Oh, I'm 28.
28. So you got a couple of years then if you're looking at doing it till 30.
I'm already feeling the aches and cracks already, man. Like, I bruise up so easily, I get injured so easy. Now, when I was like 20, man, I could like jump off buildings and everything. I was like invincible. But now I'm like, oh, my neck, this. I've been seeing physios and chiros for the first time in my life now. You know,
yeah, so don't talk to me about yeah. Next, mate.
I'm feeling it. Yeah, yeah.
Time to let's get another background image going. Time for a change.
Okay.
I was gonna say it's good to, honestly, it's good to it's good to just hear you talk about it with passion, right? Like at the end of the day, if you're enjoying it and you're getting fulfillment from it, it's still a healthy thing when it comes to, you know, health and fitness and positive mindset and things like that. And you're challenging yourself and learning new skills. And if that's where your passion lies at the moment, then yeah, sure, dive in and continue down that path.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as far as I'm concerned, but of course, you know, stay on the journey with jiu-jitsu and don't let yourself get distracted from where you're headed, because you aren't far away from getting your black belt. So it would be silly of yourself to turn your eyes too far away from that. You know, I'm not saying chase down belts, but you know, you're at the ninth hole or that, well, 18th hole, basically, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So keep, make sure you keep those skills ticking over as well.
Yeah. 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 I'm just looking for your background photo right now. I'm listening. I'm just like looking for a background photo, trying to click on something that's pretty cool stuff. I'll put this on. This is pretty cool. Pretty symbolic as well. Yeah. Okay. Fishing a pond, baby.
Yeah. There we go. Would you rather, let me ask you a question, would you rather be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond?
Personally, a small fish in a big pond for me. Because like, as I was saying before, if you're a big fish in a small pond, you won't get any better or you won't get any improvement, because your sphere of improvement is only, you know, this big. Once I get more and more and more and more to the outside circle, it's like, all right, where's the improvement? Where can I get better? Where can I, not just physically and skill wise, but also like ambition of what I want to do for my future? If my pond is this small and I get to the edge of that pond, you know, then there's nothing else and there's no point of continuing what I'm doing. But if I'm in a big pond, that means the more I get close to the edge, that means the bigger that pond grows, which means the bigger that I can do things in what I want to do, both performance wise and ambition wise. Outside jiu-jitsu. So that's why I believe I'd rather be a small fish in a big pond, because it's just more opportunities. Because especially
as well,
you talk about jiu-jitsu.
Just in life in general, you know, like the mindset of wanting to be a big fish in a small pond is someone who doesn't want to challenge themselves beyond their own comfort zone because they're happy with where they're at, or they're perhaps intimidated by what's out there and they can hold themselves back from, like, you know, reaching their potential. And I don't know about you, mate, but me personally, like, one of my biggest anxieties is feeling as though I'm not improving, or feeling as though I'm like treading water in life and in different aspects of our lives, whether it's financial, career, love life, your personal interests, with your relationships with your friends and your family, all these things. At certain times, some of it does tread water, but in general, I want the trajectory to always be moving upwards with all of those things. So
yeah, exactly, you know,
small fish in a big pond, and continue to put yourself around people who are better than you, or people who are, you know, positive influences for you, or but specifically, I like to try and put myself around people who I view as being more experienced than myself, but those same people are actually invested in seeing me succeed, and they're trying to put their hand out and not only help me, but pull me up to the level they're at while I'm trying to continue pushing them up as well. I know that's like getting deep, it's really good. That's like kind of how I try to approach everything that I do in my life.
Yeah. Well, it's true. You know, you hang around like people that just drain you and suck energy away and just want to take from you. You know, no wonder people will start feeling depressed or feel like, you know, you're not getting anywhere, or you feel like just any of the same circle over and over again. It's probably because you haven't expanded, you haven't tried new things, you haven't done anything new or taking any risks. You know, my pet peeves are the people that, you know, when you go to a restaurant, like a really fancy restaurant, something different, and they'll order the exact same thing that they'd get at home. Nothing frustrates me more when people do that. I'm like, mate, we're in this Chinese restaurant and you order, we're out in some random country. You know, let's say we're in Singapore, one of the richest countries, beautiful countries in the world. And what do? You go out to buy yourself a meat pie. What's the point, mate? It's like you've got this beautiful opportunity to pick something different, to experience something different, to expand yourself, your mind, to learn something new, but you end up reverting to what you already know or what you think you know, and you don't get anything out from it. You know, I remember one time I was working with this dude at the back of my nursery days. He was like, oh yeah, I was in Thailand. I spent half an hour on a bike trying to find a bottle of Jack Daniels. I said, mate, you're in freaking Thailand. Why would you be drinking Jack Daniels? You know, try a freaking cocktail or a different beer, you know, learn something, get a different taste bud, you know, you might like it. There's a message in there.
I can appreciate where you're coming from, but when it comes to restaurants and stuff, my pet peeve, look, at the end of the day, if they want to get something, they can, as far as I'm concerned, they can order whatever they want. I don't care. I see your perspective though, for sure, and I understand what you're saying.
I see
what you're getting at, but my pet peeve would be in that circumstance is people who are rude to waiters for no reason.
That's normal.
If they're willing to treat a waiter like that or someone that's serving them like that, then it goes to show you like how they potentially treat other people or how they may treat you. And that's like, especially if it's dating or even friends, like I see shit like that and it's just like, it's a hard no from me.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's normal in general, you know, because I've been a waiter before, so I know what it's like to, you know, serve tables and clean them up and all that whatnot. And so, yeah, because like I said, because people will always speak to people differently of how they want to gain from them. If I really like you, or in general, if someone really likes someone, it's like, I'm going to talk to them in a way where what can I gain from them? The minute they see someone where there's like, oh, there's nothing I can gain from that person, I'll talk to them differently. That changes the whole perspective of how you treat people and how you approach people. You know, like, are you trying to gain something from them, or are you trying to actually learn something from them, from their perspective? And once you learn the difference between gaining something and learning something, you'll find that once you learn the difference, trust me, everything changes once you learn the difference from gaining something and learning something. It's because they're two different things. And you'll find so much better improvement and happiness when you know the difference between those things, and your relationships and your friendships will get so much more better when you know the difference between gaining something from someone or learning something from someone. I'm dropping gold nuggets here right now, man. 11 o'clock late at night. I'm on the vape. I'm dropping freaking gold.
Getting philosophical, mate. Are you sure there's no THC in that vape?
Mate, people forget. I did 2 years of Bible college and theology. I know how to get deep. Just forget that. Keep going. I got a funny photo to upload, but keep going, Brad. Keep going.
So I don't know. Let's switch it up here and let me just ask you. So in my new role here at work, I'm working at Salesforce, right? To give you some perspective. And when I first started on my first week, we did like a hot seat thing where all the people in my team got to ask me a couple of questions each, like rapid fire questions. And then I went around the room basically answering them. And each week we have like our team huddle and they pick a different person. And it's just a way for everyone to get to know more about each other. So with that in mind,
you did.
What
yeah,
do you mean?
Like, oh yeah, I did. Oh, sorry, keep going.
No, the questions were random questions, man.
Oh, yeah, nice.
One of them was, who was your celebrity crush, like your childhood celebrity crush or celebrity crush growing up? And I was like, without hesitation, Rihanna. That's my baby.
Yeah, okay,
right there.
Fair enough, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was kind of questions like that. I don't know that it had anything to do with jiu-jitsu. Let me.
I like some
so you need. I don't know. I just like Rihanna. I'll tell you that much. Let's tell me what's going on in this picture here that you've changed your background to, and then I'll fire out some questions at you.
Oh, okay. Do you know how I was saying I know how to get deep and feel physiological? That was this photo is here.
Physiological or philosophical?
Whatever. That's a photo of me back in my Bible college days. There's me in the middle there, and some of the classmates that did my. I think this is the 2012 year. Yeah, 2012, when I was doing Christian leadership and theology studies. That's the class there. I think two of them became pastors. Two of them became youth workers. One works in IT now. One's now a lesbian. One's a really good, as a qualified musician right now. And
just taking a photo of it.
Yeah.
Just grabbed a little screen grab.
I found this photo today. I was like, oh, let's save that. I haven't seen that photo in years. But yeah,
Thanks for sharing. What I'll get you to do, if you don't mind, is some of the pictures that you've thrown up on your background. If you send them to me when I post this, I'll share them as well. Just so people, as they listen to the podcast, they can have a little bit of perspective of it.
Especially that fish one. It's like, why is he uploading a photo of a fish? I was like, well, I knew what question we were going to ask, Brad, about the small fish in the big pond, and I went deep on that one, didn't I?
Yeah, I had no idea. That just came up.
I had something else to go with that fish pond idea, but we didn't get up to it, but it was just as deep.
Oh, go on then. Fill me in, and I'll fire off the hot seat at you.
Well, I don't know if I can. Let me find that photo again. Virtual background.
Yeah, we got to be in the element, right, for me to really understand what you're saying.
So, you know, you see this, you know, big photo, this nice photo of the fish pond here.
Stay where you are. You know, I'll set yourself up. I'll take a photo of it. No, you stay below the fish. No, be in the photo. There we go. That's good. Yeah, good man. You got it. Yeah, give me a little, boom, got it.
So we see this big fish pond here. We're talking about, you know, how to expand and grow and be a bit different out there, and you know, find that feeling of a fear, and you know, feeling of not getting any better. You know, I always think of it, you know, and you said, would you rather be, you know, a big fish in a small pond, or a small fish in a big pond? You know, and I like to flip that around. You know, I'd rather be the fish that's swimming against, you know, the school. You know what I'm saying? Because if I want to be noticed, whether it's competition-wise or business-wise, or swim upstream, you know, if I want to be noticed, whether it's competition or in business or in life, relationships, friendships, you know, think of this. Let's say you're at this fish pond right now, and you want to pick a fish to take home, make it as your pet, make it grow, feed it, nourish it, give it a home. Which fish are you going to pick? Are you going to pick the fish that's with the whole school of fish, or are you going to pick the fish that's, you know, fishing, swimming in the corner there? What fish is going to notice your eye most? This photo right here, the ones in the middle, or are you going to notice the fish that's in the corner? Mm. That's how I read of life. Am I going to be the fish that's, you know, doing what everyone else is doing, you know, wearing the same gear as everyone else, doing the exact same moves, or doing the exact same business ventures, investing in the same things, buying the same things? Or if I want to get anywhere and, you know, make an impact and have an ambition, you know, do I want to do what everyone else is doing, or do I want to kind of like swim in my own current and find my own corner and, you know, be noticed there, you know?
Mm. Let's go further on this. So where does it come from? Where does this come from? Do you want to be noticed? Is that what this is? Or do you
not
want
notice.
To,
it's more, it comes into, for me, it's more of it. What's everyone's personal ambition? I always ask people, what is your ambition? What do you want to do? And that's what James asked me when I moved gyms. What does he want to do? And you know, everyone's going to ask themselves that in their journey, whether it's for jiu-jitsu, for your life, for your work. What is it you want to do? Why are you here? Are you here to just to do what everyone else is doing? Or are you here to make your own path and make something bigger than yourself and bigger than the current surroundings that you are in? you know, because like I said, because it's not just, you know, sure you might get noticed, but what are you, what's in it for you? What are you going to get? What are you going to get out of it for yourself and what you want to grow big, you know, whether it's even if it's making a podcast, you know, what's your ambition with making a BJJ podcast? Are you, do you want to just stay with just, you know, 10 listeners, 20 listeners, one share, two share, which is good for the fit where you first started, but eventually, you know, you eventually appreciate your value in what you're sharing and what you're giving out there. And you're like, all right, I've got something that's quite valuable here. You know, people are sharing things that sometimes people will be paying for, but I want people to know I've got something that I've got. I want to bring it out there and show it to people because I know I've got something that's worth a value to offer. Because once you put value on something, that's when you know you've got something going on. And my ambition is always, you know, what's the value that I'm giving to people and how are these people seeing this value? You know, what's your ambition? Okay, what do you want to do?
Let's share perspective with that in mind, because we obviously both, well, obviously I've got more of a formal podcast and yours is more, so, you know, small chat sort of things. And I'm, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you're going to do longer form conversations over time. And of course, if you ever were, I'd be happy to support it in any way, any way possible, really. But, you know, what's your perspective out of that? What do you want to achieve, or what's your ambition behind it? Because I can share mine as well.
Mine's always been about, you know, anytime that someone comes and shares on my IGTV, Instagram podcast, I always give the reins to them, let them speak out and share their views, whether I agree with it or not. I'm more of just the instigator. I'd fire a question and whatever that comes out of their mouth is coming out of them, because I just want people to know what different avenues and what different views out there, because I don't believe that one person has all the answers or one school has all the answers. I believe that you got to find your own avenue of bit of everything, a bit of both, and find what works for you. So I always put things out there, and I like to share different varieties and different viewpoints of what people think of a particular thing, because I know that someone else might view it and get something out of it, and someone else might view it and get something out of it, you know. And it could be the same topic, because like I said, at the end of the day, because I know what I put out there is, I know it's going to help either an individual or a group of people, and help the person that's sharing it as well. For me, I'm just sharing as much knowledge and information as I can, just to help someone out there pretty much. So, and to make it accessible, like easy accessible, and stuff that, you know, you might not be able to hear, you know, unless you know, knew this person personally. So, and just to show the, you know, the richness of particularly Perth has in the culture that we have for combat sports and for jiu-jitsu, because Perth has a really good scene, like a really, really cool scene in BJJ, and I definitely believe that we're in a golden age of Brazilian jiu-jitsu right now, or a new golden age, because right now it's just freaking booming right now. So I want to take as much advantage of this current era that we're in right now as we can, before we get into the next era of what's next for Perth jiu-jitsu and the era after that. Because especially in this year and the year previously, jiu-jitsu has just exploded in Perth, and I want to tap in as much as I can into that as I can, and use it for my advantage and for the advantage of others.
And so, okay, so your advantage, talking about it from a more personal level, instead of sort of, you know, the idea of sharing it for other people and helping other people share their opinions and views and give access to other people who otherwise would not have seen it. What is it personally that drives you with this, like that you want to get out of it or hope to achieve?
Right now, because I love to get have the Perth guys share their stuff and eventually get some, let's say, well-known or bigger name to share their stuff and see how it compares and see how it measure ups. Because really everything I've done has always been for Perth BJJ. So if someone from Perth can share something and someone with a highly respected name can share something very similar and agree with it, then it just shows that, you know, Perth is up that standard with some of the world's best and some of the world's most respected practitioners in the art. Because, you know, I really want to show that Perth has some of the best athletes, best coaches, best schools in Australia and in the world. So it really is, for me, I think it's me just being very patriotic of Perth and loving the city that I live in and showing that, you know, what we have and what we have to offer to Australia and to the world, and the value that we have to, I'm sure, to other people. So I think it really is more of a patriotic kind of thing that that I love to share of what we're doing in Perth. And I believe that we can do better things, that we can get better. Because 5 years ago, Perth was very underground and kind of dark when it comes to jiu-jitsu, even MMA. You know, not too recently, you know, we had a cage band not too long ago, and that's obviously not there anymore. So it shows that Perth can get better, can improve. And then you've got, like, you know, people trying to run their own tournaments and understanding that if you're one-on-one a Pacific tournament or put Pacific cash into it or have a Pacific rule set, you got to understand that you also got to go through the Combat Commission as well, and just improving how can we make the scene better and more appeasable to the Combat Commission. Is everything that you do in Perth, once you put it on paper and want to make it legit and legitimize it, has to go through the Perth Combat Commission. And the best, and if you can impress the Perth Combat Commission, then you can do whatever you want, whatever tournament format, rule set that you want. Because we've got a really strict Combat Commission that says yes to what we can do and what we can't do. And it's just, you know, the more that we can do the right things and show our value and show what we have is a very respectable and enjoyable sport and martial art, and people do benefit from it, the more they will like what we're doing and they'll be able to say yes to the things that we want to do, whether it's like, you know, putting on competitions, putting on shows, putting on programs like BJJ for schools programs, stuff like that, you know, because whatever we do, it has to go, it kind of has to run through them. If you want to make it legitimate and as legal and as less red tape as you can, you got to please them and get on their good side. That's a whole different, that's a whole different argument right there of the Perth Combat Commission. That's like a, that's something that not many people think about. You know, people are like, oh, I'll just run a tournament, I'll just do whatever I want. You can do backyard or not backyard, but like, you know, like in-house gym tournaments, that's fine. But once you put it on a big scale, put money into it and advertise it and make it like on paper official or on record official, you know, there's a lot of red tape you got to go through, especially with the Perth Combat Commission.
It's interesting to hear your perspective on, you know, the, I guess, the motivations behind the podcast to share it and also for yourself as well, because we're both doing a similar thing, right? And like our approach is similar in some ways, but different in others.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I think, of course, you know, my idea was to, you know, on a personal level, be able to go to other gyms and like, you know, learn things from people too, because usually I'll attend an academy, join in on a class, always happy to pay for it. If I'm honest though, 99% of the time they're happy to have you visit the gym. You're doing a podcast, you're promoting their academy, and it's not an expectation, but I guess that there's an exchange there. So they respect your time and you respect theirs. So most of the time people don't charge me for it when I visit. But as I said, more than happy to pay every time. I don't expect anyone to teach me anything for free. Like, I understand that I'm learning their services, their jiu-jitsu skills, so I'm happy to pay for it. But point is, I get to learn on a personal level. I get to learn some things, see other people's perspective, as you mentioned, go around to gyms and also share it so that the wider community can see more people, more of one another, build a little bit of a community. And so far that's been quite good in that regard. But on a personal level for me, you know, because I've been around to a lot of gyms, like I kind of got to the point now where like I'm still going to go around and see a lot of new gyms in Sydney over time once I'm settled more into my role at work.
Yeah.
I plan on getting around and meeting new people. But I'm kind of like, man, I enjoy the idea of just like the trajectory of like growing things, you know, relationships and just every aspect of your life. And so when it comes to the podcast, it's the relationships, man. Like I've had you on 4 times, like we're really good friends. I've had on, you know, a bunch of coaches, Jake O'Driscoll, James Woodfield Jones, all these guys like several times, and you build relationships with people, man. And I like the idea of not just having them on once and then never speaking to them again, but actually building rapport with them on a personal level and getting to know them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's like, for me, they're the kinds of things. Because if I stop doing it, man, I'm never going to forget those kind of people that I spent hours with. Like, you know, Jack Della, Josh Coolabau, those guys have been on a bunch of times. And, like, I've had a good time, like, getting to train with people like that.
Mm.
So that's like, kind of, that's where I see the value in it for me personally. Mm. But, yeah, it's just interesting, man. And I wanted to ask you, you're quite a... you know, emphatic character. You're really out there, you're loud, you're you know, very, very confident. And I guess, you know, I was, because the reason why I mentioned this now is because I was actually saw an Instagram post. I was listening to something Jordan Peterson was talking about, and then which was also made sense to me. And I know this is a massive 180 flip here, but I was listening to Jordan Peterson, and then I saw a video that popped up. You know, Spanion.official on Instagram. He put up a post about basically like, don't be scared to be yourself. And a lot of people sort of are terrified to show who they are. And I wanted to ask, I don't know if you can elaborate on that with yourself, but you very much put yourself out there and it's unapologetic. And I try to, like, one of the biggest things with my podcast, and I put it like in my goals, is to just be unapologetic, authentically myself. And some people are going to like me and some people are not. And either way, that's okay. I like some people and I don't like others, and that's cool too. So where does that come from you?
I think for me, it comes down, I'm a big movie buff, a movie fanatic. So I always get my inspiration of how I hold myself, especially from characters from movie. And it usually depends on what movie I'm watching at the moment. I've been watching a lot of Godfather right now. So I've been to the point where I go on YouTube and I've been watching videos on character studies of certain characters. I've been watching a lot of character studies on Vito Corleone, the Godfather himself, and just shows this one character was so charismatic. To the point where he was very, very well respected in his community and what he was doing. But then you've got the opposite with his son, Michael Corleone, who was respected, but he was respected because he was feared. But you got someone like his father, but he was respected because people wanted to honor him because they knew who he was and they knew that what he said he would do, he would do it. While on the flip side, he had his son, Michael Corleone, who people respected, not because, you know, of his word, but because of what he would be willing to do to get what he wanted, and he was quite ruthless with it. So to me, I always try and think of, like, you know, if I want to win people over or get on their good side or learn from some of them or collaborate with them, you know, I always think, how can they speak to them in a way where they understand where I'm coming from and make them at ease and have that bit of charisma of how to get them to open up and share, you know, because if I do a podcast or I'm going to a gym or have someone, you know, share a few things, you know, I could approach it in a way where I just read things off a piece of paper, but what do you think of this and this? And they could say whatever they want, but if I instigate as much out of them or I egg them on or, you know, do my best to like bring it out of them, I know I can get even more better gold nuggets out of them, whether it's in the podcast or in general conversation when I meet someone in person. So I always get my drive from just being inspired by different, whatever I'm watching on different content, whether it's movies or even just music in general. So for me, I always try my best to always be inspired by something. I learn something from someone who's got a bit more in depth from me, whether it's language or how you speak or how you project things. Yeah, because even just by like listening, you know, I was listening to J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring on video, on audio podcast, and just hearing the language of how they spoke and how it was written. I was like, wow, this is like, no one talks like that these days, how J.R.R. Tolkien wrote in the books, but it was very charismatic and so poetic of how he would write his literature. And that's why those books are so popular, because of the writing and the language that he used. And I always think, depending on the language that I use with when I speak to someone, if I use the right language in English, if I use the right words and certain phrases, I know I can win that person over and get them on my good side and get as much out of them and collab with them. But then again, it also comes down to not just language and how you speak to someone, but also comes down to personality and what your ambitions and who you're surrounding yourself with at the same time. Because I could speak to someone and say the right things and say the right words, but they still might not like me because of my personality or who I hang out with. And that's something you can't really win against, because everyone has their own field of what they like in a person or who they feel comfortable with or who what they accept is acceptable in their eyes and what's good in their eyes and what's normal in their eyes. That's why when you see certain people, they will always hang around. Oh, but that's why when you see people, when they hang around each other a lot, they start dressing the same. You walk around the shops, you always see groups of people and they all dress the same, like train rats. They all got the same brand jumpers, same brand bags, same brand shoes, because that's acceptable and acceptable in their eyes. And that's what they consider their norm. And the minute they see someone or speak to someone that's outside of their norm and outside of their sphere of acceptance, they're like, ooh, not sure about this. This is something different to me. Don't know about this character. It's because it's acceptable of what's considered normal to them. If we're talking about jiu-jitsu, when I first started visiting gyms and I was saying, oh, I'm from, you know, sustainable jiu-jitsu, you know, all my moves, Ozol, you know, we don't do much competition. It's all about, we love the emphasis on self-protection, self-defense. I'd go to other gyms, sport background gyms, and they'd be offended by that. Like, oh, you don't do competition, you don't know Deal Heaver X Guard, blah, 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 because it was outside of what was normal to them and what is normal in their sphere. Same thing goes the other way around. I can have some guy from, you know, from Sustainable Jiu-Jitsu or from Gracie University or Gracie Jiu-Jitsu up in like Costa Wembley, who are also self-defense focused. You know, and they see someone from a sport background, they're like, oh, it's a bit different to me. It's like a different language, it's a different approach. And, you know, they'll find it hard to gel with each other. But really, at the end of the day, both people can learn from each other and learn different things and learn different approaches. So a lot of times when people don't like someone's personality is because it's outside of what's normal and what's acceptable to them and their surroundings and their group of friends and their group of mentors and coaches as well, because it's different to them. You know, that's why, you know, it's back funny, in the day.
It's funny you say that, because it's funny you say that, because at the end of the day, man, like whilst we like humans like to fucking complain about everything, it's human nature. It's what we like to do. We like to also, like to your point about the dress standards, like on the train rats or whatever, people want to be different. But at the same time, everybody wants to fit in. So when you think back to all the people who really push away from being normal and they'll go down like the ideas of like dressing like gothic or emo or something like that. And I got no problem with that. I'm just saying they're the people who really want to be individual. So they go this separate direction. But then those same people that all want to go individual end up looking the same anyway. And so we all create these little like different clusters of people. And it's the same thing in jiu-jitsu, right? Like you have your sport versus self-defense, then you have your leg locks versus no leg locks, then you have your no gi versus gi. And it's just the same. It's all the same at the end of the day. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a different approach, there's a different mindset, there's different values and beliefs. Like one is more art, one is more sport. But at the end of the day, it's all still jiu-jitsu. And to your point, we could all learn things from one another. It's just that people have their separate egos and want to place themselves where they want to place themselves. And a lot of the time, that's not by choice. It's by where you just land, right? Like I happened to join high jiu-jitsu and that's where I started. And that was a self-defense approach. And that's kind of where my core values are, right? Mm. Other people who joined a sport gym, that's where their core values were. And I think, and like I said, a lot of the times it's not necessarily planned. It's just that's where you start. And so you just kind of learn from that pool of knowledge that you're in at the beginning.
But yeah, definitely.
Interesting. Definitely. It's just interesting, man.
Yeah, because like I said, it all comes down to what circle you're in or what circle you're used to seeing. You know, just like I was sharing before about the restaurant analogy, you know, if you're used to eating party pies and chips all day, you go somewhere else different, you know, It's like you see something else that's a bit different, a bit foreign. You're like, oh, I'm not sure about that. I'll stick to what I prefer to usually have and what I usually like to enjoy. You know, and like I said, the minute you find out there's different personalities out there and there's something you can gain, learn from this person, you're like, oh, wow. And then you get more out of it. You know, I mean, you grow as a person and then better as an individual once you learn how to accept people and see things from their perspective as well. Especially when I did my swap move from James to Amma, you know, James wants to, oh, this is my view of, you know, where I'm coming from, of where I think your jiu-jitsu is going. I want you to see where I'm coming from of it. Because obviously, because he knew that my path was going somewhere else. He goes, your path is going somewhere else, but you need to, I want you to see, for you to notice where your path is going, where my path is going, and do they align up? And, you know, are we still going the same direction? And whether it's, you know, because there's three things, there's language, personality, and behavior. You know, those three things will always factor of how well you get along with the person. Did this person speak the same of you? Yeah, it does. Sweet, I get along with them. Does his personality match the same as mine? Yeah, I'll definitely get along. Kind of will get along with them because sometimes opposites contract. And does their behavior match up with what I believe in as well? And when you've got all three of those things, or close to, or at least two of those three of things matching up, you usually gravitate to those same kind of people. And that's how you build a good gym, when those three factors all line up, and that's how that gym will grow and move together in one unit. Because you'll notice when you go to different gyms, a lot of the members will like the same guard, like the similar kind of music. They'll even speak the same, they'll eat the same food, because they're all moving that same direction. The minute someone moves off, it's what you got to decide, is this person moving off in a different direction for their own ambition, for, and will they grow and flourish in that direction? Am I going to let them go, or are they moving in a direction that could be destructive to their life and destructive to their gym? Okay, well, how do I address this? And that's how you approach it. Because I got people that, you know, even me, I got people that don't like me as well for whatever reason, and usually it's behavior and personality clashes. I won't mention who, but, you know, each their own.
With your change, I know you're talking about different directions, but were you feeling like you weren't meshing in one or two or three of those things, and that's part of it? Or is it more just the idea of the style that you want to train? Like, where does it come from?
Language, you know, I was still speaking the same language as James, still have the same personality as James, but my behavior of what I wanted to learn and what my ambitions were different to what James were. Because James will 100% say to now, his main goal for jiu-jitsu is to share the art of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, the core value of self-defense, self-protection, and self-fulfillment of you growing yourself as an individual. That is his road, and I will support that road, but I'm not on that road right now. So my road right now is, for me, I want to compete as much as I can and learn the modern sport aspect of jiu-jitsu as much as I can, and the competition scene as much as I can. And when it came to choosing Amma, that was the best avenue for me to take. So he knew my road was going in that direction, and he knew that I could flourish in that direction. That's, you know, how I got that blessing. So yeah, like I said, a coach can only take you so far, but the student has to align with what the coach wants to take you. If a coach is trying to take you this way, but the student is lagging back and is too busy looking backwards or doing a few detours, then the coach will never take them to where the coach knows he can take them. It has to be a same road direction for both the coach and the student to be aligned, but also for the coach to be successful and the student to be successful. Because once one of them drifts off, then they won't be able to achieve the goals or certain things that they want to achieve if one of them drifts off course. It's important to know that as well, for people to know that who's on track of who.
Interesting to have that conversation. You know, like I trained with James quite a bit, and like my experience was different, I guess. Like, man, like, I'll be honest with you, and, you know, maybe if someone gets offended by this, then, you know, so be it. But I've been to a lot of gyms in Perth and trained with a lot of different people, black belt coaches and the likes, and with all due respect to them, they're all fantastic and they're all great instructors. And so no shade thrown at any of them. Like, they're all great, but none of them were as good as James. I thought he was an exceptional instructor. His ability to teach is really, really good, and his ability to grapple as well. Like, I've never felt top pressure from anyone in my life as heavy as I've felt from him. And when I say top pressure, I don't mean someone just squeezing you with brute strength and trying to cross-face you. I'm talking about someone who can literally melt you into the mat with finesse and effortlessly. You know, and I've been at gyms where I've trained with black belt coaches and come out of it with injuries that I will carry for the rest of my life because they didn't have that same finesse and control, right? So James was a whole nother level, man.
And for sure.
But, you know, I guess, say, like you said, he's pushing the self-protection and the art side of it, and that's sort of like where my value is, right? And to my point about training with a lot of different coaches and our ideas of people being earlier talking about people being different, and you know, we're all kind of one of the same but different, if that makes sense. You know, I've been to a lot of different gyms. Everyone is still, they're great instructors. They're all wanting to improve the quality of people's lives. They're changing people's lives. They're building confidence. People are learning self-defense and martial arts in general. And like overall, when you think about it, like even though they might have slightly different beliefs and values, we and them are all kind of like in the same mission towards like, you know, learning and teaching and growing jiu-jitsu and just improving the quality of it around Perth and around Australia and just in general. So
You
know, people are more similar than they think they are, even when they think they're different.
Yeah, and end of the day, whatever you do or what you choose to do, you'll always find a fan. And I mean that as in, like, if you choose to do this, you'll always find at least a group of people that will like it and join along with it, because there's always people, you always find people that will have certain values or have certain interests as you at the end of the day, always. And you know, that's how cult, you know, that's how people listen to a certain genre of music or listen or do this or do that, because there's always something for everyone. You know, if you want to do your school and run it this way, you'll find people who will like that style. If you want to do something this way, you'll always find people that like that style, because there's like I said, people aren't as different as you think. There's always someone out there that will enjoy what someone else will do, even if it's different to someone else. That's how cults are made.
for me to you, mate, I enjoy what you do, and don't any haters, any doubters and things, don't worry about it. Keep that same energy and do your thing. I'll always time. I'll always make time for you and support you, man. I promise you that.
I'm still getting screenshots of haters every day. I'm like, oh, sick. I haven't even met this dude. But yeah,
what do you mean? People sending you screenshots from conversations of someone hating on you?
Yeah, because they're mates of them. I was like, fair enough. Or they're in the same chat room group of Facebook Messenger or something. But most of those people that I don't even know or never even met or met once, I'm like, I don't even know you. So their opinion doesn't really like matter to me, because it's not someone that, A, I don't respect, it's not someone that I'm friends with. Two, I don't value them because I don't know them. And three, it's like, doesn't affect me in any personal, financial, or mental way. So it's like, okay, fair enough, dude. But usually once you get to know someone, that's how a lot of friendship gets done. So once you get to know someone, then eventually, oh, we're not so different. And then you actually become friends with them. So half of these people that always talk shit about me is, man, if we just hung out and went for a drink, you know, we'll probably be good friends, mate. So like I said, they people usually hate on someone when they find something to nitpick or something that they don't agree on, and they'll choose to nitpick on that or hang on to that and not look at the other good qualities or the other positive aspects of what this person has done or what they're doing. But also comes down to who's that other person hanging out with as well, you know, the hater. You know, if the hater is hanging out with other haters, then I wouldn't be surprised. So there's patterns in this
game of life.
Oh man, like I said, I'm in the zone.
Let's wrap it up in a minute. I think it's been almost an hour or just over. If you don't mind.
Fast.
Yeah, I know it did, right? We were like, oh, maybe it'll be 20, 30 minutes. Here we are, like a solid hour later, just rambling on. Let's do quick rapid fire questions. I'll ask you a couple. We'll finish on a
good,
and then we'll wrap it up. All right.
So I love these kind of questions.
I'll start with this. I'll start with the one that I got asked. Who would be your celebrity crush?
When I was growing up, I was a big fan of Harry Potter, so it'll probably be Emma Watson from Harry Potter.
Okay.
Because I was like 11, she would have been like similar age as me, so just normal. Harry Potter was sick. And now Emma Watson is even more of a baby, but she's a bit of a feminist right now, so it's a bit off-putting, so yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Dodge that bullet.
no comment, Brant. No comment, man. I don't want to get fucking cancelled. all right. So, if you could only some of these questions are rehashed for me, like I've heard them recently. But if you could only eat three fruits for the rest of your life, what would they be?
Mango, pineapple, and apples.
Oof. Okay. If you could only do one martial art for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Besides jiu-jitsu, I've always wanted to learn like old school karate. Like karate style. No, but
you can only do one. You gotta let everything go and only do one. What would it be?
Do one martial art.
Yes.
For the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, it'd probably be fencing. Fencing would be sick. I've always wanted to become a pirate.
Fencing comes from a place of you sitting on the fucking fence. That's where that comes from.
I want to be a pirate.
All right. Okay, what else we got here? If you could watch one movie that you've seen before and watch it for the first time again, what would it be?
Okay, if people knew my top five movies, they'd be like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? Because all my top five movies are super deep soul-searching movies. If I had to watch one movie again for the first time, again and again, even I've already seen it 100 times, it'll probably be a film by Wes Anderson. He's a film and writing genius. And the movie's called The Royal Tenenbaums, starring Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson. Pretty sure Gwyneth Paltrow was in there, Gene Hackman, and another whole set of ensemble cast. Really good movie, a lot of good life messages. And it was freaking amazingly written. The script, the soundtrack, off the charts. Yeah, it's called The Royal Tenenbaums. Really good film. If you watch the trailer, you'd be hooked.
Right, yeah, I'll have to give that a look. I haven't watched that before.
It's a pretty deep movie.
Okay. What animal would you consider your spirit animal?
I actually think of this quite a lot. I was like, man, I'd be a sick eagle. But then again, you know, it's like, don't really fly around that much. Then it's like, could I be like an earth animal, like a tiger or something? It's like, oh, no, that's a bit too Asian for me. I don't want to be too Asian. Then I was like, oh, what if I be like, you know, something like sick, like a water animal, like a dolphin or a whale. I was like, oh, then I can't swim. I ever watched that series Dinotopia? Remember that, the book of the series Dinotopia? Okay, well, in Dinotopia, there's three classes. Because they live in a world of dinosaurs. You're either in the earth class, the water class, or the air class. Water class, you swim on like dolphins and stuff. Earth class, you're like riding on like triceratops and all that kind of stuff. Sky class, you run like pterodactyls and all that kind of stuff. If I had to be in Dinotopia, I'd most likely be in the earth class because I can get around more. And you know, no one wants to be in the water for like 100 days unless you're one of those summer beach people. I'm not a summer beach person. And no one wants to be in the air for so long because it gets freaking cold and windy up there. So I'd rather be an earth animal. So let's just say for now, let's say a horse. You know why? Because chicks dig horses.
Let's be a horse because I got a fucking horse cock.
True. Chicks dig horses. Ride horses?
Exactly. Yeah, the chicks that ride horses love horses, that's for sure.
Told you.
And that's fair enough. Okay, so what's your, other than Dinotopia, you mentioned books. What's your favorite book of all time?
Besides the Bible, of course. If I had to read a book over and over again, it'll probably be the Harry Potter series easily. I freaking love the Harry Potter series. Right. I read those books over and over again, but I'm currently going through the original Lord of the Rings series right now in the original language and format of J.R.R. Tolkien. And once I get through that, then I'll get through his expanded books like the Silmarillion and all that whatnot. And
right. Let's go with a couple more and I'll turn the heat up on you and ask some more questions that are a bit like more challenging for you. All right.
Comedy gold right now.
What's something you're really proud of?
Really proud of? What's something I've done lately? Let's make it like normal. Let me ramble on. I'm pretty proud of my bronze medal in wrestling. because that was my first medal I got in wrestling. And it's really, when you first start wrestling for the first 2 years, it's really, really hard to win a match when you first start in the first 2 years, because the guys that usually jump in this competition have been wrestling for like five or plus more years. So it's always the best of the best. So just to win one match is an achievement in wrestling. And for me to win that bronze medal and get a podium finish, I was particularly proud of, because it was also the first medal or hardware in wrestling that I've got. And now that I've done that accomplishment, now I'm like, a new set goal to get the gold silver medal. Once I get the silver medal, the next set goal is to get the gold medal. And so that puts it, sets the bar more and more and more. It's a health way to view it. So I'm pretty proud of getting a good podium finish in wrestling and getting wins in wrestling, because it's really hard to win in freestyle wrestling competition against the current WA competition that is out right now, because they're all really, really good.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's turn the heat up a little bit. Sorry, I'm not, I don't mean to like not address them. It's more that they're just quick fire questions like with your responses.
I like it.
Otherwise we just keep talking all night. Right. Okay. So who would you want to switch lives with for an entire day? Just throw out a name.
I got to think of a name right now. He's something that's really inspired me lately. I wouldn't mind switching the life of, let's go Zuckerberg right now, Mark Zuckerberg.
That sounds like just a fucking terrible life, man. Fuck that.
No. He's married to an Asian missus. Do you know what that means? Dinner every day. She's looking after the house, looking after business ventures. I go to work, I answer a few emails. I'm getting all this inside goss and inside information around the world. I'm getting more secrets to Adam Jarks right now. So I don't know about you, but I reckon that's a pretty good life right now. So I'm getting
all, I love how you inside, referred it back to Adam Jakes as well. That's so relevant.
Yeah. So forget Julian Assange for WikiLeaks. Mark Zuckerberg's got all the questions in the world. So I'd happily be him for a day. That'd be funny.
Fair bump, play on. Okay. So when was the last time you lied and what was it about? Like, what was the last lie you told?
Oh, probably the last gym I told them I was at wrestling class. I was actually at Amma.
You fucking dog. All right. So who are you jealous of?
Jealous of?
Yeah. Who would you be jealous of?
Oh, pretty much anyone that's over six foot. Because I'm 5'5" and I'm freaking short. So if you're taller than me, I'm already jealous of you already.
Right. Okay. What is something that no one knows about you?
I am ambidextrous. I'm left-handed and right-handed, both my hands and my feet.
There you go.
No one knows that. People just assume I'm left-handed, but I'm right-handed as well.
All right. Okay. Aside from that, while we're on that kind of topic, do you have any hidden talents?
Most people know what I'm good at anyway these days. Anyway, I don't know if it's a talent, but I used to speak Japanese really well, like to a level where it was fluently. Used to like really good Japanese, but because I've been in Japan so long, the language has just escaped me. But I knew if I went back to Japan, nandaya.
Okay.
But I know if I went back to Japan, it'll just come back to me.
Right. Okay. I'll go two more. What's the biggest lie you've ever told? And maybe this is the first time you're letting it out of the bag, but I wanna hear it, brother.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you get to this end of the podcast, then yeah, you deserve to hear this lie then. If you get to this end of it,
yeah, no shit.
For 1 hour and 6 minutes of what we're going through. Biggest lie I've ever told so far. Probably the amount of times that, you know, I've messaged people, I can't come in tonight, I'm working, but really I just got to be stuff going to training. Let's be honest, we've all done it. I did it the other day. I was like, oh yeah, 5 p.m. open mat, who's keen? They're like, yeah, we're keen. And then I messaged in the group chat later, oh, sorry guys, I'm still at work, but really I was at home just chilling in bed. I just got to be stuff getting out and getting in the car.
Fair enough. All right, you know what? Let's leave it at that. Mate, thanks for your time. That was a heap of fun. Hopefully people enjoy that. A little bit different, right? We didn't really we didn't plan anything there, right? Like you said, talking about the conversation around just talking to people, letting it happen. You know, some podcasts
we went deep.
I might do a little bit of research and like have an idea of the things I want to ask someone, but I don't really set it out like that. I just sort of start the conversation, kick things off, and then sort of just as it goes, I just, you know, roll with the punches and just flow with the conversation as much as I can. But today, like, we literally don't do a potty, and then 20 minutes later we're on the podcast and we're just figuring it out as we went. So that was a heap of fun, man. Thank you for that.
Dude, I've had people rock up to my house at random times at night, just talk deep and talk about, you know, the history of life and the history of the Nazis, history of the Bible, and just talk deep crap. PJ Morcom is one of them. He'll message me at like 2 a.m. at night about some random historical information crap. And I'm like, PJ, man, it's like 2 o'clock at night. What are we doing here? Why are we still talking about this? I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah. Well, there you go, mate. That's the fourth time you've been on the potty. I'll have you back on soon again. Hey, best. I'll try and edit this as soon as I can, and I'll put this out tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, best of luck with the competition this weekend. Let me know how it goes, and I'll get you back on the potty again soon, mate.
Sick. Sounds good, man.
Any socials you want to share or any discount codes and things?
I've recently just changed my Instagram name for the 500th time. Instead of Millivac BJJ, now it's just Millivac on air, because now obviously I do more stuff than jiu-jitsu now. So now I just put it as Millivac on air, because I'm always doing something different these days. Because I don't want to just be seen as a BJJ guy. So new Instagram name, mill_vac.onair, one word. Currently 50% off of Humble Fightwear right now using the code Coffee and Chokes, including spaces, lowercase letters as well. We've got a new blue gi right now called the Humble Fightwear Trailblazer Gi, all blue, nice and simple, good embroidery in the patches, four-way stitching. I'm pretty sure it's Pearl Weave. Get it right now, 50% off Coffee and Chokes. It'll be at your door in the next 3 days, available on the website right now at www.humblefightwear.com. You can tell I rehearsed that.
I couldn't tell, mate. Seemed like it came out naturally to me.
I'm good at what I do, baby.
All right, brother. Appreciate your time, man. Thanks very much. And to all the listeners, if you've tuned in this far, thank you very much for your time. And I will see you in the next one. For now,
Shalom Shabbat. Peace.
Shabbat.